on this episode of Last Christian. For decades, evolution has been taught as fact, not theory. Tonight, we examine the claims, the evidence, and the scientific failures behind it all. This is Exposing the Myth of Evolution.
Well, welcome everybody to another edition of the internationally syndicated Last Christian. My name is J.D. Williams here in Texas. It's Mr. David Paxson there in New York City on the left-hand side of your screen today. And David, before you even speak, I want to say something here. If you are an atheist, if you are an agnostic, or if you are a believer in another faith, this is a show for you, unless you're scared to hear the truth. Now, if you really believe what you believe, then you're going to have no problem in sticking around and listening to this, and you'll laugh at us and say, oh, that's not it. But I promise you, if you listen to this show and you let it get to you, you actually listen to it and go with reason, we're going to prove to you by exposing the myth of evolution, and we're going to do it scientifically. What do you got to say about that, David?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they've been trying to hammer this over the years. Evolution actually is an old thought from ancient Hinduism, but they reincarnated it in the mid-1800s. But you know, the cool thing is Darwin himself even said that he's really skeptical about his own conclusions.
Yeah. Which is exactly what we're going to, we're going to get there. I promise you. Go ahead and finish your thought.
Yeah. And the main thing that we could see today is he says, everything's based on the cell being very simple and just a blob that just is there. If it turns out a cell is complicated, it would destroy my whole theory. Basically, that's what he said in a nutshell. Yeah. And cell is complicated.
Yeah. Well, go ahead. David, why don't you go ahead and pry us into this, and then I'll show you everybody what we're going to talk about.
So, Father, we love you. We love your word. Father, we ask that this would go forth and shine a light to anybody who's wavering. Oh, they taught me evolution. What's the truth? And going back and forth. And that they would know that your word is true. And that a historical written record is actually more accurate than even scientific experiments that they do today that they still argue about over and over. But your word is true, and help them to see your word is true. And we hope, Father, that you would send waterers and harvesters to reap these seeds that are growing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, I'm going to show everybody what we're going to talk about here real quick. And we've got the theory that admitted its own failure. Now, David has already mentioned it, but we're going to really get into it. Next, we'll talk about the fossil record that actually refused to cooperate with the theory. Then, in the second half of the program, we'll talk about biology, DNA, and the collapse from within. And then we'll finish things off with the Bible attacked and science being corrected. I think that's pretty cool. Science corrected. I like that one.
Who doesn't love correcting science?
Yeah, yeah. You know, they want to speak about science, but then when science gets in the way, then they change science. And you know, for somebody out there that doesn't understand what I'm saying, when a person cannot define the difference between a man and a woman, that's a scientific failure on their part, not on science's part. Okay, so let's just go ahead and get started here. We'll go with the theory that admitted its own failure. Evolution is often treated today as unquestionable science, but it did not originate as an established fact. It began as a proposed explanation with clear boundaries. So from the very start, its founder acknowledged that the theory stood or fell on specific conditions. Darwin openly stated that if complex biological structures could not be explained by numerous successive slight modifications, then his theory would collapse. He also admitted that the absence of transitional forms in the fossil record would be a decisive failure. Now, these statements were not made under pressure from critics. They were offered honestly, because Darwin understood the weight of what he was proposing. In other words, evolution was not immune to falsification. It invited testing, it required evidence, and over time that evidence failed to materialize. Yet the theory was retained anyway. So instead of abandoning the idea, modern science redefined expectations and quietly shifted the burden of proof. Scripture does not operate that way. It clearly says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, there's no uncertainty in that declaration, no gradualism, no evolutionary scaffolding. The Bible presents creation as an accomplished act by an all-powerful creator, while evolution asks for patience and time. Scripture begins with authority and also, of course, with finality. So now, David, you are the reverend here. So let's talk about, because this really is the beginning of the beginning, right? So let's talk about creation. And we'll point out the scientific stuff here in a minute. But let's talk about what God said. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Go ahead and start it from there.
Yeah, well, it's the first three verses are actually tied into one, where he actually used light to create the time-space continuum, and then created a framework, a matrix, if you would, for life to exist in. And that's where it said, so when we created the earth in the beginning, it was mostly the stuff. And it wasn't until day three that he made the plants, which was the beginning of everything. So he created all the plants and everything. And then day four, he made the sun, and it wasn't until later that he made the animals to go on and the fish and the birds. But that's the process. But I really wanted to touch on how people, they always say, oh, believe the science. It's the science of evolution and the theory of creationism, or the myth they try and use. And the irony of it all is that creation is actually a science because it's observable. And so science is a disciplined process of observing the natural world and forming testable explanations and refining those explanations through repeatable measurement, experiment, and evidence. And it's always open to correction. Whereas, you know, if you get into what's called the theory, a theory has to be a well-supported explanatory framework, which evolution doesn't even have. Okay, so it's not, it doesn't even meet up to the qualifications of being a theory, even, because there is nothing. There's no supportable evidence at all for evolution. Everything is a supposition. So when they say, "Oh, I believe the science over the you know, over the Bible," no, the Bible is more scientific than anything. Okay, and it explains exactly how everything was done. And if you really wanted to dig into stuff, you could see as you read through the Bible, there's more and more revelation of how things were. And then we're able to see them now as well. God gave us our eyes and our ears and our hands and everything so we can actually take apart his creation and see how it's made. All right, so in that would lead right into what you were talking about, that history and written history is a much greater proof than any kind of what, you know, I calculated a, you know, a million years ago for this fossil. Well, where'd you get that from? Okay. Who was there a million years ago? Who documented all this stuff? Oh, you see, it's just your mythological books. Okay. Well, then your mythological book of how America got started, because you weren't there. You weren't able to define it. So obviously the history, the written history, is more qualified evidence than even some of your supposed suppositions. And it's not, evolution is not repeatable. Okay. You can't demonstrate how it happened. You're just, you're making suppositions on it. And it's circular reasoning too. Well, they say, this was found in the Cambrian era. So that means, you know, it's this mm-hmm. old. Well, mm-hmm. if it's this old, it was found in the Cambrian era. So you're mm-hmm. just going back and forth with
Actually, you're leading us right into to the next points here. So let's go ahead and mm-hmm. get into this one here. This is the fossil record that refused to cooperate. The fossil record was expected to be evolution's strongest ally. If life evolved gradually over millions of years, the Earth should preserve a clear trail of transitions showing one form slowly becoming another. But there's a problem. The trail doesn't exist. Instead, the fossil record consistently shows sudden appearance, long periods of stability, and eventual extinction. Organisms appear fully formed and functional, not partially developed. The expected chain of intermediaries is not merely incomplete, it's simply missing altogether. The Cambrian explosion highlights this problem unmistakably. Complex life appears abruptly in the fossil record without evolutionary ancestors. Entire body plans emerge at once, complete with eyes, nervous systems, digestive tracts, and reproductive capability. These systems do not appear in stages. They appear complete and already working. This pattern aligns perfectly with the biblical account of creation by distinct kinds. Genesis does not describe life struggling upward through failed experiments. It describes God speaking life into existence, fully formed and ready to reproduce. Evolution predicted gradual change, but the fossil record reveals sudden design. Now, that's pretty clear. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. you look at a fossil. I've never seen a fossil of an embryo.
No, I mean, other than inside pregnant animals.
Right.
They have found those.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's absolutely right, because, you know, we have fossils of the same animals today. Well, if it was millions of years ago, mm-hmm. how come we have the same animals? How come you got trilobites that look exactly the same as trilobites all these millions of years ago?
Yeah, and how come the cat's the same as a cat back when, you know, when it started? Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
It's bigger. So the best evidence, and even if you have an animal die today, what happens to it? You know, it's mm-hmm. eaten up by the microorganisms, even down to in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you can't say, oh, this was millions of years ago and this one died, because they have animals that were eating. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, so it just instantly died while it's eating and then got suddenly covered with some debris. Well, it sounds like a flood to me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the vast majority of them are with their arched backs like this, which mm-hmm. is a death row.
Yeah.
Okay, so they were obviously in some kind of chaos,
mm-hmm.
But they don't tell you that. Matter of fact, they even have, you know, recently they found several fossils with flexible flesh on it, okay? Which is, if it was millions of years old, that would be impossible, okay?
Yeah.
If it was 4,000 years old, that would make more sense,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
okay? Everything was covered all at once, because you can't just have it. They have multi-strata trees that are fossilized.
Mm.
Okay, so that means the tree was dead and it stood in that one position for millions of years while the layers came on it? No, it happened mm-hmm. very quickly.
Very quickly.
And Mount St. Helens is another one. Mount St. Helens, it has a mini ice or flood stage, because mm-hmm. it's exactly the same things, and it created a bog and created oil.
Mm.
with all the, like in a couple of years. So you don't need all the millions of years of pressure. Same thing with diamonds. They've learned how they can make them today. And
mm-hmm.
That could have been made right at the founding stages of the earth. So it doesn't take those millions of years. But I think that is ridiculous, just to think that the fossils happened over time. Mm-hmm. No, it had to be a catastrophic event. Because there's eggs that are in the middle of being hatched.
Yeah.
Okay, that they found. How do you explain that if it's over millions of years?
Mm-hmm.
You just stood there? Okay, go ahead. Fossilize me. Go ahead.
No. Well, again, you know, the fossil record, and this comes from science now, the fossil record was expected to be evolution's strongest ally. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if life evolved gradually over millions of years, then the Earth should preserve a clear trail of transitions showing one form slowly becoming another. But mm-hmm. that did not happen. So, again, here, this is, you know, we are exposing the myth of evolution today, because that's exactly what this really is. It is, and we're doing it with science, with actual science here. So, you know, you've got, instead of fossil records consistently showing this sudden, the fossil record consistently shows sudden appearance, long periods of stability, and eventual extinction. Now, that's what's actually been going on for as long as recorded history is available.
Yeah, and everybody, they just assumed, in our Western culture at least, I mean, some of the Hindu stuff still had this evolution crap. Mm-hmm. But that's because they believed in the pagan gods who told them whatever. But all of the what we call the Christian world, they mm-hmm. they all knew and understood of creation, and they all understood that it was about 6,000 years now. So we see all these things, but I think more to the fact is, we'll get into the science in a minute, but you can't have a fully developed organism. Shows up. Well, how did mm-hmm. it get to that stage? How did it develop eyes? Because
right.
I thought it was a survival of the fittest. Mm-hmm. But if your eye is half formed, it's useless and it's just a waste of energy. So by your definition, it would get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because it's not doing anything good. And here's a real big one that they have no way out to answer: is how did you create male and female?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All of a sudden, evolution just decided there's two sexes and you need them both together?
Mm-hmm.
No, it's because God said let there be male and female, because right. he wanted that relationship with us,
mm-hmm.
that bride and groom relationship with us.
Right.
So he demonstrated in his creation, I'm going to make mm-hmm. all creation with a bride and a groom.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So there's just so many questions they can't answer. They just think, oh, it just showed up one day and here it is.
Mm-hmm.
There's, you know, one day there was nothing and then it exploded.
Yeah. Yeah.
And became everything.
Well, you know, again.
Well, you tell me that science.
Yeah. Again, getting back to the science here, that organisms appear fully formed and functional,
mm-hmm.
not partially developed. So the expected change of intermediaries is not merely incomplete, it's missing altogether. That's a scientific fact. That's not a biblical fact. That is a scientific fact.
The Bible is scientific, so.
Well, the Bible invented science. I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, getting back into this, what'd you call it, the Cambrian thing, the explosion
Cambrian
there?
Explosion.
Yeah. Yeah. That thing highlights the problem
mm-hmm.
that complex life appears abruptly in the fossil record without evolutionary ancestors. Where are the evolutionary ancestors that support evolution?
Yeah.
Point
if
to
it
one.
Was so many millions of years, it should have been in there.
Should have been there, right? Entire body plans emerge at once. Now, what does that tell you? I mean, these body, you were talking earlier about, you know, like cats and dogs and, you know, whatever animals and fish mm-hmm. and whatever else. These things appeared all at once, complete with eyes, nervous systems, digestive tracts, and reproductive capability. The systems do not appear in stages. They appear complete and already working. Where is the evolution in that one?
Yeah, where do I have half a digestive tract?
Right. Mm. You know, the only way you're going to get that is you've got some kind of an abortion thing going on, right? And that mm-hmm. wasn't, you know, I don't know.
Well, just like,
go ahead.
There's many good, real scientists, not mm-hmm. these pseudo-scientists called evolutionists, but real scientists, you know, say things like, it's akin to, you know, a tornado going through a junkyard and assembling a 747.
Yeah.
That's just absolutely absurd.
Insane. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
To, and it's all working, complete with all the nice vacuumed rugs inside and the pretty seats. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, no, it's not going to happen because we all know that it goes from order to chaos. You leave a 747 in a junkyard, it will fall apart.
It will fall apart. Yeah, and an animal dies and it will decompose. The thing is, okay, let's go to fossils for a minute. Now, I'm not a scientist. I don't claim to be. But exactly how do they think that fossils come into existence in the first place? And how long does that process take? And why aren't we seeing different phases of it? Does that make sense?
Yeah. With the fossils, every single time they come across a fossil, they'll say something, oh, this one must have got caught. There must have been like in the bottom of a lake, or there was a local flood, or there's every single time they relate it back to a catastrophic event that caused this, because they know that if an animal dies and lies there, everything else is going to eat it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it got covered with something, you know, even the La Brea tar pits, they found a bunch in there because, oh, they got stuck in the tar pits. Well, that was pitch in the Bible. We talked about that on a previous show, with the oil. If you looked at them, they were trying to run away from something.
Yeah. Something like water. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like a lot of water.
Mm-hmm. And everything you see them all, you see patterns. When you see a pile of them together, they're all running terrified in one direction, or they're all swall around. You see, oh, there's a whole bunch of them right here. This must've been a burial site that they came to die. No, it's because the swirls of the water kind of gathered them all into
like
one spot.
Like a whirlpool type thing?
Yeah, and then covered them over with the successive years' worth of sediment being rushed back and forth and back and forth.
So how many years does it take for a fossil to develop?
They've made fossils in a couple of years.
Okay, so with Mount St. Helens, for instance.
Yeah, there's several over there.
Yeah, so, I mean... I don't understand. I don't understand why people can't see that there has to be that catastrophic event. It has to happen all at once in order for there to be any kind of a fossil. And it's not going to be an embryo. It's not going to be something that's half developed or something like that. It's going to be a functioning creature that is immediately fossilized. I don't know how else to
full-sized woolly mammoths that were in the middle of eating. They still got food in their mouth, and they were quick frozen. And it's like, oh, we could tell what it ate. It looks like it was, you know, the Jolly Green Giant put it in a package last week. How do you quick freeze a woolly mammoth?
Yeah, really? Yeah.
That has to be from the collapse of the canopy over the top. And it's just another thing that says creation. Rather than evolution over time, because it was evolution.
Yeah. So, I mean, evolution, again, going back here, evolution predicted that there's gradual change. But instead, the fossil record is revealing scientifically that instead there was sudden design. I mean, you know, again, these creatures come fully developed, all ready to go. I mean, they're, you know, I can't say adult, but they are fully formed and functional. They didn't come through a gradual change. So go ahead and take the last couple of minutes here in the first half, David, and put some biblical material in here to kind of back up the Bible. And also, I know you know enough about science that you can take it apart, too.
Yeah, I went to school for it. So, So here's a cool thing. You heard of this thing called DNA, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. We're going to get into that in the second half. Go ahead.
Yeah. All right. So we'll talk about that. But basically, they found that in the 50s. Mm-hmm. They found this DNA. It's 3.2 billion letters long.
Mm.
Okay. So obviously, it's a code. So let's look at that. If I have my computer and it's sitting here, right?
Mm-hmm.
I could say, oh, the hardware. Look at the hardware. I got this processor. I got this video card. Mm-hmm. I got all this memory things over here. But you could look at that computer all day long, and you have no idea what software it's on.
Right.
Why? Because the software is a code. It's an intelligent design code that tells you how to do this. And basically, it exists. Code exists outside of time and space because it's just information. Okay, so here's information, and I can send this information through the airwaves because it doesn't have any mass, right? It's not subject to time. It doesn't have any mass. The only thing subject to time is the hardware. Okay, is this hardware, is it up in specs enough to handle this code?
Right.
But the code itself is there. I could store it on a disk. If I get a disk and I fill it up with 19 terabytes of information, how much does it weigh? Well, the same as when you started, because it's just information.
Right. Uh-huh. Right.
But it's got an intense amount of information on it. And that's what your DNA is. It's a master blueprint code. It's a source code. So that is very alarming in two different ways, because it clearly says that, oh my goodness, this code's amazing, because the code will tell your cell not only what tools it needs, what supplies it needs, it's the directions on how to put it together, and it's got an orchestrator in there. You know, when you go to who's at an orchestra and they're playing the music, who's the conductor?
Conductor.
Somebody's got to conduct all of this stuff. Because I can have a whole bunch of instruments lying around and it's like, okay, this isn't doing me any good. Well, you get the conductor and some music and a code, then all of a sudden it's beautiful. You got Chopin or some Beethoven. So when you're looking at the master blueprint and source code, you realize there's a creator and a designer behind it. There has to be.
Yeah, but I'm real quick. Again, it goes back to the founder here, Darwin.
Yeah.
Okay, he openly stated that if complex biological structures could not be explained by numerous successive slight modifications, then his entire theory would collapse. And he also admitted the absence of transitional forms in the fossil record that would be a decisive failure. Well, that's what we've got. That's exactly what we've got, right?
It's 100% what we have. There's no transitional anything. I think the ominous thing about a code is that it is eternal, which means if you have DNA, then you're eternal. And God can take our DNA, repair all the errors in it. By the way, our cells do about 50,000 repairs per second.
That's incredible.
Try that yourself.
Yeah.
And so they're always repairing something, because there's so much stuff inside going on. There's like tractors, and there's waste removal, and there's defense, and like one cell is more complicated than an entire city in its production.
It's crazy.
And you're like, oh, that is a simple cell. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Eternal. And if you're eternal, that means when your body, your hardware passes away, that DNA code is still there. So for us as believers, we get a resurrected body.
Right.
We get a new body according to the corrected code. Okay. And then we get to live in that one. Now we, basically an upgrade to our hardware. But if you don't accept the Savior, then you're going to be eternal, but you're going to have no body, which means you're going to be in the waste bin or the burning pit of hell for all eternity. You'll never be able to get out. So that explains it scientifically. Lord willing, you'll accept Jesus before that. We'll see you in a bit.
Yeah, we'll be right back.
Today, Christian voices are being silenced, censored, and pushed aside. That's why Last Christian Media exists. We are an independent, family-friendly Christian media platform broadcasting on Roku, Amazon Fire TV, and the web, bringing Bible-based teaching, trusted commentary, and faith-centered programming directly into homes around the world. We don't answer to corporations, we don't rely on advertisers, and we don't compromise biblical truth. But independence comes at a cost. Your support helps keep Christian content on television. It helps cover broadcasting, streaming, and platform operations. It helps creators share truth without censorship or shadow banning. When you support Last Christian Media, you're not funding a network. You're strengthening a mission. Visit lastchristian.net, click donate, explore the media store, and help keep Christian voices visible. Last Christian Media. Faith, truth, family. On TV, on demand, and here to stay.
And here to stay. You got that right. We may have left radio behind. And by the way, when I say that, we're still on radio. We're just, our radio station is no longer around. But this show is on radio stations everywhere.
Internationally. Yeah, like 200 different stations.
Yeah. So, you know, if you happen to have a station and you want some listeners, chances are our show is being listened to by people in your area. So all you got to do is go to lastchristian.net and you can find out exactly how you can get the show on your station and improve your listener base as well. We also encourage you to go to lastchristian.net. Yes, we do need support. We don't hammer it. But yes, we do need support as far as donations, or you can go to our store, bookstore. We got Oliabo. I'll let David speak about that in just a second. So there's ways to support us, and we do need that help. David, you want to talk about Oliabo for a second while I clear my throat here?
Oliabo is a new company based in olive oil derivatives, but it's a high phenolic extra virgin olive oil, single source. And you know how important that is these days. Well, it comes with, there's products like the Prima, which is a supplement pack. There's a Flex, which is good for aches and pains to rub
on.
I just ordered
some Flex, David.
It's going to be good. I'm hearing lots and lots of results. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, we just gave my mother-in-law some of the Prima. And within a day and a half, she started feeling better and walking around when she was basically, they were going to call in the hospital on her. They're like, no. Now, granted, we did tell her to drink more water and do the right thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Supplements with some electrolytes in it. Mm-hmm. But we've had reports of people say that their hands are warmer now. Mm-hmm. Scott did that as well. So apparently it increased his blood flow because he had diabetes. He was about to die. Scott had diabetes last year. And now he's like, his hands always got cold and his feet always got cold. But he says, even with the cold spell that we had, his feet and hands were warm. I was like, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, I got to try some of this stuff with my daughter. Before we went on, I was telling David about some issues that my daughter's having in Florida. And by the way, if you guys out there, pray for my daughter. Her name, I'll give you her first name. Her name is Chandra. Pray for her. She needs it. She needs it right now really bad. Okay, David, let's get to the part here I think that you're going to really enjoy, because we're going to be talking about biology, DNA, and the collapse from within. As scientific tools improved, evolution did not become easier to defend. Instead, it became much more difficult. The deeper scientists looked into living systems, the more complexity they uncovered. Cells are not simply blobs of chemistry. They are organized systems containing coded instructions, energy processing, transport mechanisms, regulatory controls, and repair systems. These components depend on one another. Partial systems provide no advantage and cannot function independently. Now, this reality exposes irreducible complexity, exactly the condition that Darwin acknowledged would dismantle his theory. DNA intensifies the issue even further. DNA is not matter acting randomly. It's informational. It is language. It carries instructions that must be read, translated, and executed correctly for life to exist. Information does not arise from chance. It requires intelligence. Despite decades of experiments, I'll put it that way, science has never observed life arising from non-life. Information arising from randomness or one created kind transforming into another. What science observes repeatedly is order, purpose, and design. Scripture summarized this long before microscopes existed, and it states, "I am fearfully and wonderfully made." So modern biology confirms what Scripture declared. Now, I know you've been wanting to get into DNA, David, and here you go. That is, oh, here's, I just teed you up. Go ahead.
Hey, do you know in the late 1800s, because of all this evolution nonsense, that they thought if you left something out and like milk or fruit or something, that the mold that was on there, since they couldn't see it, that they thought it just spontaneously combusted and boom, there you have new life being formed. And they're like, oh, look, great. It's evolution. And then they found out, though, no, they're actually spores. But here's the thing. Everyone talks about the DNA being discovered in the 50s. It wasn't actually discovered in the 50s. It was discovered in 1869. Oh, so here you have, 1859, Darwin publishes The Origin of Species. 10 years later, in 1869, Friedrich Miescher. So he identified DNA, but he called it nuclein. Mm. Okay. And then it wasn't until much later, 1953, that DNA was identified. Mm. Okay. So the structure was identified. How does it work? And that's what we call the double helix. So they were able to get microscopes small enough to figure out, oh, okay, I see what this is now. So this confirms what the other dude, Frederick, said. Mm-hmm. Okay, but that was by James Watson and Francis Crick. And then they had experimental data from another one named Rosalind Francis and Morris Wilkins. So the X-ray was taken as a key to recognizing the helical structure, basically the double helix. The twisted ladder that we see today.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what it was. And they realized that, oh, wow, this consists of, just a few letters, and that they were all twisted in a form. And what they noticed, this is phenomenal, that even with 3.2 billion letters in your DNA, which each cell individually reproduces every day. It rebuilds another city every day.
Every day.
Just a day's work. Got his little lunchbox. He's walking around. Built the whole city today, honey. I'm home.
Oh, wow.
So, and then what it does, it actually takes those 3.2 billion letters and it reads them out and then copies them. Okay, here's another cell. I need another liver cell. Okay, here you go.
In a millisecond, or not even a millisecond. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it just prints them all out. Mm-hmm. It's actually defined as the of winding a spool of fishing line inside a basketball and spinning it at 1,000 revolutions per second and unwinding it and winding it back up without tangling it.
Oh, man. Well, you know,
visual you can get on.
Yeah, it is amazing to me. I would think I didn't hear about DNA till I don't know. I guess it was probably around the time of the O.J. Simpson trial was the first time that I'd actually ever heard that. I'm not saying it didn't exist and it wasn't something that science knew about.
It just wasn't mainstream.
Yeah, it just wasn't something that I'd ever heard of until then. And even then, and I don't think I'm the only one. Even then, I wasn't sure if it really mattered or not. Okay. I didn't give it much credence. But the thing is that science did, and they should have been able to immediately look at their theory of evolution, compare that to DNA, and say, "Oops, we were wrong." But they didn't do that, David.
Well, some of the people in church did. The church started to see, okay, that was wrong all along, because Schofield was a big old, he wasn't an evolutionist per se, but he was an old earther because he was battling with the evolutionists saying, oh, look, there's millions of years. Mm-hmm. So he was battling with them. He says, well, the Bible says there's millions of years too. You just can't read it. So Schofield was off on that. But then when they finally figured out the DNA, then it started to come down. But it always takes, usually up to 50 years before the community accepts any scientific stuff. So if you talk of 53, it wouldn't be till 2003. So by by 2003, it finally became mainstream. Oh, yeah, okay, we got DNA.
Yeah, and then there's two different kinds, right? I mean, I can't remember. One of them's a meta something DNA, metacural or something like that DNA.
There's mitochondrial, but that's
yeah, good. That's it. something where
your mother's DNA. It's not two different kinds. It's just one stems from your mother, one stems from your father.
Right. So, that was another thing that was confusing, and I'm still not educated.
Well, that's all in the code, you know. And even though it's 3.2 billion letters long, mm-hmm. it's still not enough to design your cell and your body to operate, and then to be the matrix for your spirit to live in. So, they found out that if you read it technically, this is it. It's not exactly, but if you read it forward, it says one thing. Okay, these are all the supplies you need. But if you read the exact same thing backwards, it tells you how to put the supplies together. Okay? And then if you flip it and then fold it over on each other, mm-hmm. it tells you where to get the supplies.
Oh, my gracious. Okay?
There's just so much that it's interwoven. And that is mm-hmm. what led me to believe that the Bible is that way, too, that there's so many codes interwoven mm-hmm. into the Bible because yeah. We found out it's interwoven into our DNA.
Yeah.
Okay. And so if I flip it over and say, then it tells me what colors I need. And then if I flip it this way, it tells me, okay, this is the conductor and how we hit in what mm-hmm. order do I need to put these things?
Yeah.
So that's kind of the idea of the DNA. When you flip it, twist it and turn it, it brings up new codes
that are
perfectly understandable.
And now, just to be clear here, these codes are different for people and animals and all that, right? So whenever science is talking about taking like a piece of DNA from a jellyfish or something, because that's supposed to really increase your life or something, and they insert they've just made you non-human, right?
Pretty much. I'm not sure exactly what point, because my father had a pig heart valve put in.
Yeah. Well, I'm talking about DNA, David. I'm not talking about, like my wife has had cornea transplants. Okay. She's still a human being. Trust me. I know this.
Yeah, I guess that's but transplants versus changing your DNA.
Changing your actual, who you are. Because DNA is who you are. And if you change that, then you just messed with God's plan. At least that's how I look at it. What do you think?
Yeah. Well, here it is. If I lay out what DNA, what the cell actually looks like, mm-hmm. then you'll be like, oh, crap, we probably shouldn't mess with that. So you can think of DNA, mm-hmm. My nucleic acid. Mm-hmm. DNA. That is the master blueprint and source code. So that's all the code, your DNA. Mm-hmm. So it has stored instructions for every single component. Every single thing that's on your body and the way you work and mm-hmm. how it operates and what you need for it is stored in your DNA, every last cell. Okay. It's written in digital language because it's a four-letter code. Mm-hmm. So it's digital, which means it had to be designed if it's digital, because mm-hmm. analog is just kind of something floating along. But if it's digital, it's specific breaks mm-hmm. at specific periods.
Okay.
So if it's digital, it's 100% somebody coded it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
And it's designed to be read exactly when you need it and never when you don't need it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like it's like your user's manual in your car. You're not going to turn to the air conditioner when you're trying to change the tires.
Oh, that's crazy. I mean, it's unbelievable. It really is. Okay, let's look at this now.
That's only one. I got 11 of those.
Okay. Well, I'll give you all 11 of them you want. the Bible attacked and science corrected here. Throughout history, scripture has repeatedly been declared scientifically outdated, only to be vindicated later by discovery. And this pattern is consistent, and it's also unmistakable. Science announces the Bible's wrong. Scripture is dismissed or mocked. Time passes, and then new discoveries overturn the claim. The Bible is vindicated, and it remains unchanged. The Bible described the earth suspended in space long before astronomy understood gravity. It spoke of ocean currents before oceanography existed. It outlined the water cycle before meteorology developed. It described life as appearing suddenly and fully formed long before biology examined any fossils. Now, each correction of science strengthens Scripture's credibility. It doesn't weaken it. Evolution persists not because it explains the evidence best, but because it removes God from the equation. If there is no creator, there is no accountability. If there's no design, there is no purpose. If there is no judge, morality becomes negotiable. Evolution is not just scientific, it's ideological.
Ideological.
Thank you. I don't know why. Sometimes I just can't do it. So the next time someone tells you that the Bible is fantasy and has been disproven by science, ask them a very simple, specific question. Okay? Specifically, what part are you talking about? What part specifically is wrong? And where is the evidence for that? Because the Bible does not evolve. Truth does not adjust to trends, and God does not revise his word. Science changes, but Scripture stands. What do you got to say about that?
Yeah, that's the truth. Like I said, written history, not only is it written history, it's been hammered for 3,000 years, some parts. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, and because it goes back to Moses wrote that, and what was he? He was closer to 3,600. So, and people have been trying to hammer it ever since. Mm-hmm. Yet here it is today, and it stands, and it stands as truth, and no one can do that. I like fighting with some of the people on, where you get in a creation group, and then mm-hmm. inevitably there's people in there, the atheists, and they're arguing about creation. Okay, mm-hmm. Oh, yep. This is how mm-hmm. it happened. This. Mm-hmm. And it's always the same question I have, which they never have an answer to. It was like, why are you wasting such valuable time of mm-hmm. your life in here mm-hmm. arguing with people and fighting against a God you don't think exists?
Right.
I said, that's mental. You're mm-hmm. a mental case. If you really don't believe God exists, you wouldn't be in here fighting against him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You would be just, you know, I'm not going to go into a group and argue with someone about there's no Easter Bunny. No, there's no Easter Bunny. Someone says, yeah, there is an Easter Bunny. Oh, no, I'm going to prove to you there's no Easter Bunny.
Mm-hmm.
Why bother?
I don't understand either. You know, let me ask you this question. Do you think that maybe, even though they're there fighting for a position that God doesn't exist and all this and it's all evolution, do you think maybe subconsciously they're there trying to be convinced of just the opposite, that they're hoping somebody can prove it?
One of two things. Yeah, it's either a bot troll that's just there on purpose just to cause mm-hmm. problems because mm-hmm. then they get paid for clicks. So if you go arguing back and forth and back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, they get paid for that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. So, but you could tell the bot trolls, you just look at their profile and, you know, they got one post that they just, all they did is repost someone else's post right. from years ago. You know, it's a bot, or if it's mm-hmm. brand new, you know, they mm-hmm. just made it a month ago. Mm-hmm. You could tell the bots, but then you can tell the people, the other ones. And that's usually what I leave with. I okay. said, you know, why are you fighting? Here's the reason why you're fighting. Mm-hmm. It's because you know God exists.
Yeah.
And you just don't want to admit it because you're a little crybaby.
Well, and they don't want to change, David. It's just like when I was still a non-Christian, but I really, you know, there was something missing. I knew there was something missing. I knew, and I knew it probably was spiritual. But I wasn't ready to change yet. You know, I liked my life. I liked my life a lot. Okay. I mean, you know, everything for me was great. My career was great. Money was good. Family at home, pretty solid, you know, even though we were bouncing all over the country together. So I looked for a church that would allow me to keep my lifestyle. You know, and I've talked about it before. That was the Catholic Church. It was the only one that came anywhere close to what I wanted to do. They were going to allow me to either smoke or drink or cuss or something. You know, I was trying to get all three of them in there if I could. But, you know.
Make you a deal.
Yeah, exactly. I was trying to make a deal. And I was trying to make a deal with God. And, of course, that was not going to happen. And it wasn't until I really accepted Jesus Christ that I was able to rid myself of all that baggage and move forward, you know, to where we are now, you know. Mm-hmm. It didn't happen overnight. Well, it did in the end, but it did, you know, what I mean by that is
it took me
years to get to the point of making that final decision. And after that final decision was made, it was all downhill from then. I mean, you know, you're climbing up the hill all your life and you finally get to the top and here you go. I mean, this is a slide down now. I'm good. You know, I mean, I hate to describe mm-hmm. it like that, but that's how it feels. You know, it feels like you're on a, you know, you're on a racetrack now and you're mm-hmm. good with mm-hmm. that. You know, and are there temptations? You better believe it. Do I sin? Absolutely. Okay, but not like what I used to. You can believe that. You know, I'm. Mm-hmm. You know.
Well, your desire is not to, like King David. You know.
Right. Yeah. You know. Sometimes you go, "Why did I do that? That was so stupid. I'm sorry, Lord. I should not do that." That's kind of. You know, and it's usually over a Facebook post. I'm just going to be really honest with people, okay?
I just wake up in the morning and apologize. And right. I'm sorry for what I'm about to do.
But you know, I'm honestly trying to, you know, trying to support the Lord. I really am. You know, okay. Real quick, I want to look at this. The final points here that I wanted to make today. That the proof that remains, even for non-believers, you know, and this is really where we started the show, evolution failed in its own requirements. What Darwin laid out, it failed. Its architects initially admitted the risk. The evidence that they promised never arrived. Yet the Bible itself, that never moved. So science did not disprove Scripture. It simply keeps catching up to it. What do you think?
Yes. Yeah, that's 100%. Every time you hear about a new discovery, oh, we found this from the Bible. They thought King David was a, you know, mythological figure for mm-hmm. years and years and years. Mm-hmm. And then they find a coin that says from the King David's reign. Like, oh, maybe he was real. I don't. Oh, look over there.
Yeah. I saw something the other day, and I can't remember if it was Joseph or Jacob, but they found evidence of him.
I think it was Joseph. I'll have to
look
it up.
Yeah, that was. I mean, that's just been in the last couple of days, the last few days. Yeah. that I saw
and they
that.
Found stuff. They're finding more stuff. Of, you know, they say, oh, the story of the Israelites is not in the Egyptian, you know, literature, but now they're starting to find, oh, wait, maybe it was this guy. You know? Well, let's finish up the cell and how that works.
Yeah, okay? Go ahead. Yes.
Once people see what the cell is actually made like, mm-hmm. there's absolutely no way. Okay, okay. So we already talked about the DNA with the DNA, which is the master blueprint and source mm-hmm. code. Mm-hmm. Okay, they're the design files, right? But then you have the nucleus. We hear the nucleus of the cell. Well, that's kind of like corporate headquarters and a secure archive. So it's the main, it protects the blueprints in the nucleus. So that mm-hmm. protects your DNA. It controls what stuff goes out. So you got a little guy in there going, okay, here, you need this page, you know, and it regulates the schedules. You need this one, but you get it at 5 o'clock. Okay, so that's what it is. That's what your nucleus is like. Okay, mm-hmm. So it's a little corporate headquarters. Your RNA is the ribonucleic mm-hmm. acid. That works. It's work orders and production tickets. So that's what the little dude in the headquarters is handing out. Okay, here's your work order. Mm-hmm. Here's the mm-hmm. DNA. Here's all the information you need. It delivers them out to the production floor. And then there's no decision making. It's pure information transfer. So you're basically, here's your rules. Do this, you know? So the little guy says, okay, I'm going to carry the waste out.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
All right. And then you got ribosomes. Who doesn't love ribosomes?
Right? No, I've never heard of that one. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, basically, they're the little machines that are in there. You know, you got little tiny machines inside your cell.
Mm,
there's like conveyor belts. and little turntables with gears. It's wild.
Okay.
They got gears. How do you make gears? Inside your cell, it's this tiny little thing you can't even see. So basically, the automated machines will read the instructions, okay, and it reads them precisely, like running a code on a computer. Mm-hmm. It assembles the raw materials in the same sequence. You ever see the robots in the car factories? And this one brings the wheel, this one screws them on.
I've toured those places. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's basically it. You got like an assembly line, and the ribosomes are these automated assembly machines. Okay? That's pretty wild, right? And if something goes wrong, they stop instantly. Boom. Mm. Shuts down the line. What happened? There's like a rock in it. Okay, get it out. Okay, now let's keep going. All right. So there's amino acids, and those are basically the raw materials. So they got a room full of different parts. Okay. Mm. Hey, let's go into the parts room and get me some of the lug nuts. I need some of those. And then bring out that rubber strip for the windows on the car. Yeah. So these are standardized parts. So they're stored and transported and assembled as needed. Those are as amino acids. Now, there's such a thing, Joel, called right-handed and left-handed amino acids. Are you familiar with that?
No, I'm not.
Okay. Well, basically, amino acids come out, but they're 50-50. They're half and half.
Okay.
One amino acid might look like this, right?
Okay.
One's right-handed and one's left-handed. They just use that term, so it's sticking out like this, and they mirror each other. So here's the right-handed one, and here's the left-handed one.
Okay.
Do you know that if you randomly put them together, that a cell couldn't exist because it has to be all right-handed amino acids?
Oh, wow. No, I didn't know that.
Okay. Yeah. You can't use the left-handed ones. I think it's the right and left. Yeah. Well, you can use one, but you can't use the other.
Can't use the other.
Yeah. I believe it's the right hand. Isn't that wild? Because that means there's no possible way for this randomly to come together.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it randomly came together, it'd be 50-50. And if you get one of the wrong-handed amino acids, your whole system falls apart. It doesn't fit. It's the wrong cog in the wheel, and the entire assembly room will collapse. So that's just amino acids. And the odds of creating amino acids are ridiculously absurd. And that's just the simple building blocks of a cell.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then the odds of pulling it together where you have the same handed amino acids to build everything it's impossible. It's just impossible.
It seems like God put all this together to make sure
it
that science.
It just seems like it was designed, isn't it?
Yeah. He made sure that science would know that they were wrong. Yeah.
Well, what about the endoplasmic reticulum?
The who?
Oh, that, yes. Basically, it's the conveyor belt.
Okay.
So it's the conveyor belt. You know, you ever see the factories in Amazon and they put the packages on a conveyor belt and then they go into the different compartments? That's what it's like. It's a conveyor belt, and it sends all the parts out and conveys them along to where ever they needed to be. So it moves the products between all the stations. You see how complicated this is?
Oh, it's insane.
It's literally more complicated than the Ford factory.
Mm-hmm.
Literally. Okay, you can check it out, and it's many times more complicated. And that's ridiculously intense.
Yeah.
And it folds and modifies parts during transit. So it packs it up nice and tight to get it over there. And how about the Golgi apparatus?
Well, we don't have time to talk about it, David.
We're
out of time. But
all right. And then there's the mitochondria. There's the power plant and the cell membrane, the repair systems, and the cell division. I mean, there's so many more things to talk about.
Well, we'll talk about it later, that's for sure, if we're given the chance. We'll see you next time.
What you've heard tonight isn't opinion, speculation, or theology dressed up as science. It's a sober examination of evidence, history, and truth. Evolution promised answers, but delivered assumptions. Scripture, once again, stood firm while theories shifted and claims collapsed. The Bible has never needed revision, rescue, or reinterpretation to survive scientific scrutiny. Time and discovery continue to confirm what God declared from the beginning. Thank you for watching Exposing the Myth of Evolution, presented by Last Christian Media. If this program challenged you, encouraged you, or strengthened your confidence in God's Word, we invite you to explore many more family-friendly programs by visiting lastchristian.net. Until next time, stand firm, seek truth, and remember, the evidence didn't change the Bible. The Bible explained the evidence.